We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Sports Talk powered by fans. Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. The power of sports.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Drill deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
It's an incredible honor, you know, and getting a chance to be, you know, associated with, you know, one of the Yankee greats, you know, one of baseball's greats, you know, be enshrined with him forever is, you know, it's, words can't describe it, you know, and that's one thing that's so special about the Yankees organization is all the guys that came before us and kind of paved the way and, you know, played the game the right way, did the things the right way, did a lot of great things in this game, and getting a chance to be, you know, mentioned with those guys now is, I can't even describe it. It's incredible honor, that's for sure.
If you're going to get Aaron Judge and land Aaron Judge, you're going to have to, and you're not the New York Yankees, you're going to probably have to give him money that gets him into the 40. And you might get his best years, 4, 5, 6, 7 years of great years of Aaron Judge, and you might have to suck it up for 2 or 3. Now, are you willing to do that? That's going to be the big question. And a lot of teams that are analytically driven won't go that route.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the
now
night,
you're talking.
Prayers in the street light.
Now you're talking, Marco. You got the right Coolio song to start the show. You just crank this up. Give us another minute. Rest in peace, Coolio.
Look at the situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the state, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my 10 in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a loped out gangster, set tripping banker. And my home.
Good morning, Kansas
so
City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan. Navy Katie? Hey, Navy Katie. Marco Marquez, Marissa, the intern. We still haven't come up with a nickname. Kangaroo? Rue? Something. Something with UMKC?
I don't think she liked that one.
Why would she use Rue? What do you mean? That's the mascot of your school, young lady. You got to represent. Northland intern. She got something. Does she have a nickname, a family nickname she wants to roll with? Or she just want to be Marissa, keep it professional. I can find out if there's a nickname she don't want me to find out about.
She started sharing, but then she stopped herself before she could say it. So she said just call her Marissa, but I think you got to do some investigating.
Now I'm going to make some calls, so I'll put big time on that.
You let me know if I need to call anyone.
Big time.
Okay. We'll get them on.
Well, good morning. We got lots to talk about. We got lots to do. We've got Buster only coming on a little bit early at 6:30 because we need to adjust his schedule because Aaron Judge hit home run number 61 last night. So he will be on. He'll be on the TV, won't he, at 7 o'clock. So he's going to come on at 6:30. It'd be easy for Buster just to cancel, but he adjusted his schedule because he's Buster only and we love him. We'll have some Chiefs sound from out of Arrowhead. Adam Kaplan, one of our NFL insiders at 7:30. Gary Lizak can give you the forecast. Former Chiefs wide receiver Gary Dieter will be in studio with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Will he bring donuts again? I don't know. That's the expectation now. I hope he does. And then Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Will he ever bring donuts? Probably not, but that's not my expectation. Gary Dieter has spoiled me, and so we'll see what happens there. Got lots to talk about. We'll hear some comments from Travis Kelce's podcast that he does with his brother Jason Kelce. That's interesting. And we started the show. We'll be playing some music, some songs from Coolio, who passed away yesterday at the age of 59. And certain music resonates with people, with you. You know, it connects you to a time in your life, whether it was good or bad. And I will... Gangster's Paradise, that's one of my favorite songs ever because it connects me with, like, I was at UMKC. I was just having some fun with Marissa, talking to her about that. That's when I was a senior. Would I have been a senior? 95 or so. That's right around the time where I was at UMKC. That's when I was training for the Golden Gloves, and I had a mixtape that I would listen to on my Walkman before I'd spar, before I'd go train. That was featured prominently.
On a Walkman or on your Walkman?
No, Walkman. Walkman. You know, my headphones. You know what I'm talking about?
Walkman. I'm just giving you a hard time, yes.
No, you son of a... That was before I had a Discman. And so anyway, so I think about that. I think about me and my late friend Randy driving around in his Mustang, and he had the best stereo system ever, and we're just blaring said mixtape, which included Gangster's Paradise, and which included us changing the words to other things, which are inappropriate for this radio show, but maybe I could repeat them on Hot Mic with SSJ. And that was right around the time I met, you know, Susan, and when, you know, we met at Woody's, so this song played at Woody's, like, get off the dance, watch out! Steven's ready to move. Let's go. I don't know. That song just always makes me happy. I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs when I was a younger man. And you were going to play Fantastic Voyage. That was you play Fantastic Voyage at a party in the 90s? Get back.
Oh, yeah.
People going to dance. I'll play it at a party right now. And people will dance. So, I mean, you know, that's all. 1, 2, 3, 4, too hot. I mean, he had, you know what? He was, he had some fun music that connects me with a certain time and represents a certain time in my life where my life across the board changed for the better. I met my wife. I fought in the Golden Gloves. I fought pro. I graduated from UMKC. Had my first baby boy all in that 95, 96 era. So that was a good time, man. That was sparring and being coached by Craig Cummings and sparring and getting punched very hard by Damon Reed. You know, I feel like that's when my life turned a corner in a positive way. And I liked it. Not, you know, it's just, you know, you have certain songs that you're young. I mean, you're going through it right now. But you have certain songs that just bring you back to a good time in your life. And Coolio is one of those for me. He was prominent on the mixtape. Let's go cruise Nolan Road, maybe. I don't know. Let's see what happens. Put Coolio on to find out. So I was very sad to see Coolio pass away at the age of 59. So that's all. Nate Buchady, any thoughts on that?
I'm learning of Coolio's passing right now in real time.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to process it because, yeah,
I know sometimes you look down at 90s music, so please don't do that to Coolio because Coolio makes me, his music makes me happy.
Oh, no, not 90s rap music.
Okay.
That was like the golden era of rap music. That was, ain't no party like a West Coast party because a West Coast party don't stop.
And I took some time just to read about Coolio because people just associate him with one or two songs. Interesting background. He was more than that. So it was, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Those songs just put a smile on my face. So, classics in
absolutely
my mind. You know that?
Yeah. And Gangster's Paradise will always make me think of Michelle Pfeiffer
in that
her
video
prime as well.
And let me tell you something. Still to this day, she's always been in my top 10. But even now, I love her even more because she has aged wonderfully. And I love Michelle Pfeiffer. And I know it was corny to have her in that video. But when she turned that chair around, like, kind of got in Coolio's face. And she was tough from the movie Dangerous Minds. I'm like,
you wanted to be lectured by her,
oh,
you know?
I'd love to be lectured by Michelle Pfeiffer. She's the best. Oh, boy.
Disciplined by her.
So, I mentioned last night Aaron Judge makes history, and that was cool. I know a lot of people have been angry about ESPN's coverage of the chase of Roger Maris. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't, because I like things. Baseball is one of my first loves as a sport, and I have I'll get sappy, but things like that remind me of my grandpa, Danny Ontiveros, and remind me of discussions we'd have, and, you know, he'd always want to talk about the players that he saw or the players he watched or he saw live and would compare them to the players that I loved when I was a kid, and he'd take me to baseball card shows all the time. The TriStar shows, we stood in line and we got autographs from Hank Aaron. We stood in line and got an autograph from Ted Williams. I mean, we had I don't know what the hell happened, all that stuff. But it wasn't, I don't care, even if they're worth a lot, the actual piece of memorabilia that we got signed. What I take away from that is the 2 or 3 hours I stood in line with my grandpa talking about Ted Williams or talking about, you know, mijo, you know, Ted, you know, just whatever he'd say, and who this guy's overrated, or he loved this guy, or whatever. And that just, I love moments of baseball history. Like, I always, man, I dig it when I see on Twitter, someone's got a no hitter going, I can't wait to go watch, see if I, you know, it's a hitter or it's a pitcher or a team, I don't care about. I love baseball history. And I know that you were complaining about them breaking into a soccer game. And you know what? I said that wouldn't bother me. And the proof was in the pudding, because while I was watching Mizzou and Auburn, they went split screen, I think, 3 or 4 times whenever Aaron Judge would come to the plate. And Mizzou fans were pissed off. And I might have been mad had they gone just totally away from the Mizzou game. And they went, it was a tie game when they were doing it, you know, a few times. But I didn't mind it because I wanted to see it. I want to see Aaron Judge tie Roger Maris. I think that's, I don't know. This is baseball history. I don't know if I'm ever to see that again. I might not. But, you know, we're in American League City. And I know that I certainly don't root for the Yankees, but damn it. We just saw Aaron Judge tie the American League record. Nobody in American League history has hit more home runs than this dude this year. Incredible. And yes, since he was a farmhand, he's been on the Bada Bings. And he's helped me win a championship. He's helping me go right down to the wire, I'll at least be runner-up here. So I am a fan of Aaron Judge. And everything you've ever seen about him off the field, Tim Grenhart told us stories about meeting him, and he's the kind of guy you want to root for. And so that was, I'm glad I saw it. And to see Roger Maris's family there, and they did it up in Toronto, I got a big kick out of that. So congratulations, Aaron Judge. Is that, you're a young man, Marco. I don't know how you feel about baseball. Does that even resonate with you? Do you care about something like that? Is that like, you know, I'm too cool for that. I'm too busy betting on DraftKings Sportsbook. I don't need that to waste my time.
No, that's exactly why I care. I mean, it keeps it interesting. Nailed the Aaron Judge walk in a game. The leadoff walk yesterday. Cashed in on that. No, but do enjoy the history. I remember standing in my living room excited when Barry Bonds broke the all-time record. And I remember when A-Rod hit 500 against the Royals. That wasn't too exciting.
That's not exciting.
But yesterday, yeah, it was cool to witness that part of history.
Yeah, that's wild. Nate Bucchetti, I don't know. You want to comment? I don't think you liked it as much, but still, history.
I think you have the right attitude. You have a better attitude about it than I do. I mean, it's happening, so you might as well enjoy it. But
I'm also benefiting from it. That's the other thing. So.
Yeah, I need to find a way to make it work for me.
Literally.
Like it did for you and Marco.
Benefiting.
But I think that my interest in home run records just kind of got killed by the steroid era. None of it seems to, like, you just kind of, none of it, I don't know if any of it's legit anymore, you know? If that makes any sense, it just, like you mentioned, every single guy we talk about, A-Rod, Bonds, Sosa, McGuire, they all ended up being tainted down the road. And there's no allegations like that around Aaron Judge that I know about in any way. But it just kind of seems like the whole thing is just like, I don't even know what home run records mean anymore. Which ones count, which ones don't count, you know, all that stuff. It just doesn't seem quite as exciting, if that makes any sense.
And I also look at, like you mentioned that era, you know, so many people were doing it, home runs through the roof and everything else. I look at it as who's second place right now in the majors in home runs.
Somebody like 42, something like
Kyle
that.
Schwarber. You know, it's not like, hey, there's five guys and, you know, it's the ball's exploding and everyone's doing it. And it's, you know what I mean? I mean, there's nobody else that's going to hit 50. There's nobody else that's going to hit 45.
Yeah.
And he is. I mean, I think that's significant as well. You know what I mean? It's like he's standing out so far from the crowd. I think it means it's I don't know. That makes it more significant.
Well, that was that's what the old Ken Burns baseball documentary, that's what they said about Babe Ruth at the time. They called him an Everest in Kansas, like Mount Everest being in the state of Kansas, where
there's no mountains
in Kansas.
It stands
out a lot more. Right. That's the point.
I get it.
He was the only guy hitting a ton of home runs.
Mind blown. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.
Feeling comfortable right here where you are. Sun all on your skin, and I'm watching.
Welcome back to the show. Now, what are we listening to, Marco, right here?
Listen to some Giveon.
And so when I asked you to play something from Giveon, both of you were very surprised and taken aback. Like I'm some old man that's got one foot in the grave that can't appreciate new music.
I just want to stay in the world we created.
You seen this side of Marco? Are you taken aback by that? And I'm not going to lie. The reason I'm more aware of this artist is that you guys know Phil St. John. His favorite genre of music, he likes soul, likes R&B. He likes the good stuff, you know. Phil St. John is chill, I guess, is what you would say. And so he asked me to help him get tickets to this concert because Giveon's at the Midland tonight. And through my wonderful friends at Tickets for Less, I was able to acquire two tickets for Phil St. John. What did you say, jumping up and down, screaming? Go ahead and say what you said.
I asked you, is he taking the girlfriend?
And what do you think? No, you go, oh, the girlfriend's in town. They're getting good. Yes. Yes, and I was happy to get them tickets. I was happy that, and that just, there you go. Okay, truth in advertising. You need tickets. If you got a kid that tells you I want to go to a concert and you have no idea who it is, or if you're unsure, Tickets for Less knows. And now they got two tickets and they're gonna go have a wonderful time, hopefully. So you like that, huh? That's a good concert.
good concert.
I was listening to him on the way here.
Are you serious?
Well, one of his songs.
Well, you like it then.
I like him, yeah.
Did you know he was at the Midland tonight?
I did not. It's right down the street from me.
Tickets for less.
Tickets for less is where you need to go. You see Phil St. John there. Now,
I didn't know Phil St. John had a girlfriend.
Well, he keeps things under wraps.
Is this like new information? Or has this been happening?
A few months, but
whoa.
he just you know, yeah, it's been a few months, but he doesn't give up information too easily.
That's fair.
So that's it. You know what? Though? That's hey.
In town, where does she live?
What? Well, she lives in Overland Park, but she lives in Salina because that's where she's going to school. Like she's the aerospace, or she can be a pilot. I mean, she's like you know, she's out of the world smart.
Yeah,
so there it is. So speaking of, you continue. I'm very impressed by this because you continue to come in here to intern to try to learn under the watchful eye of Marco. I know he's shaking his head, but you have to understand you're one of ours. Okay,
correct.
You're one of the Border Patrols and Sports Radio 10. So we need to do a well check on your grades here.
Wellness check.
Right. So how are things going right now? Because I've been told is this exam week? A lot of exams going on? That's what Phil's saying.
I don't have any exams this week.
He has a big, I think, accounting maybe. He has a big exam today. Ooh. He goes, I just got to get through that and I can enjoy the concert. I said, okay, fine.
Heck yeah.
I bet he can.
So, yeah, that's right. You need to ease up. And so how are your grades? I'm sorry, but I must ask this.
My grades are good. Besides one class.
What one class?
It's called Exploring Intersectionality.
Okay.
It's a required class that I have to take.
For your degree?
Correct.
Which
is? It's like a UMKC essential class. It's like one of those. So it's not really for my degree, you know, but
you
I have
take
to take it to graduate. Yeah.
So what's going on? What's going wrong here with this?
Basically, I was just telling Marco about this too. Mm-hmm. Our professor is just a very, very hard grader.
Very tough grader.
And like discussion board posts and stuff, like usually the discussion board posts are out of 10 points,
right.
Usually. I usually always get 10 out of 10. Can't seem to get past an 8.5.
Very tough. No, tough but fair? Or just too...
I don't know, Marco. What would you say? Because my discussion board post was really good. And I responded to two other people's. And I still got an 8.5.
Yeah, I would say... just tough.
Is he giving tens out to other people? Or is it just 8.5?
I don't know.
So what classes? What are your other grades in?
I have. What are my other classes?
Oh boy,
oh
this
my
is
gosh.
A problem. If you don't
oh,
know your classes.
I have a critical thinking class.
Okay.
I have a 98 in
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
My journalism class, I have a 97.
Oh, good.
Gosh, why am I? Oh. History of Rock and Roll. You would like that.
Oh wow,
you
better
would
have
love
an A in
that.
That. I would,
99.
I didn't know that existed.
And then music appreciation, I have a 96.
Okay. But then that one.
But then that one, I have an 83.
You said it was, 83's not, I mean, it's your standards.
It's
what I'm saying.
It's getting low. And if I keep getting these 8.5s in on, we have these quizzes and they're out of 7 points. And I don't think anyone that I know in the class has gotten a 7.
Did you reach out? Have you reached out to the professor?
No,
like, what can I do?
My mom told me to do that because
right.
She was like,
"You got to know what you know." Dude, do you need one of us to reach out? Do you think
I might?
Would that help or hurt?
That might help.
Nate,
actually,
would you be willing to contact the professor and find out more about this grading scale?
If it were me, or do you mean on behalf of Marissa?
On behalf of Marissa, you're a big name. Maybe this professor's a soccer fan. Maybe this professor likes the radio station. If she found out it could help, would you reach out on her behalf?
I think that would be doing a disservice to our gal Marissa here. You gotta fight your own battles, Marissa. You gotta stand on your own two feet.
I'll step in for you.
Thank you.
I had everyone fought my battles when I was in school. My mom fought so many of my battles that so she was undefeated. Well, no. She had a couple losses, but that's all right.
No, I'm usually pretty good about reaching out to teachers, like when something isn't really going. But this one, I just haven't reached out to her yet. But I think I'm gonna need to.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure everything was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything's good.
All right. So, and Marco, you're learning stuff here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it seems
always.
Like it. Yeah.
Every time I come in here, I learn something new.
Well, there's our update from UMKC student, and continuing to be a Border Patrol. Intern Marissa, who is ready to find out what the hell's wrong with this professor and why why they won't give you a better grade. We'll find out for you. Back after this on WHB. That music means we're going to talk to Buster Olney, who's a very busy man, so thank you for making time for us today, Buster. And we were having this discussion about Aaron Judge tying Roger Maris. And, I love all the cut-ins. I love baseball history. I love moments like this. And it's significant to me because, you know, we're in American League City, and now he's hit more home runs than anyone ever, and you know, except for Roger Maris in the American League. And it's also, I think, a big deal because look who's in second place with Kyle Schwarber. Look how many more home runs, Buster, the Aaron Judge has hit, you know, more than anyone else in Major League Baseball. So I think that's significant as well. You tell me what a big deal this and how important this is and how significant it is that Aaron Judge hit number 61 last night.
Analogy just a little bit further. As you guys know, the first who climbed Mount Everest did so without the aid of bottled oxygen. You know, Sir Edmund Hillary, I think, is the most notable one. And then subsequently, a lot of people have reached the Mount Everest, and many of them have used bottled oxygen. And that's kind of what's happened in baseball, right, where there are people who've done it with substance help, and there have been some who've done it without substance help. And so for Aaron Judge, he hit 61 home runs without substance help, and be, you know, what we believe to be only the second player to hit that number. That's pretty extraordinary in an era in which hitting has never been more difficult, with a parade of relievers, with everyone throwing 100 miles an hour, with all the advent, the use of analytics. For him to be that far ahead of the second place guy in home runs, and to have a season like this under these circumstances, I think it's the greatest season any player's ever had.
And see, that's one of the reasons why it is so significant to me, because, like, you know, I remember 1987. I remember how the home runs exploded and everybody was hitting home runs. And so you kind of look back and you look at that differently. Or, you know, in the steroid era with like you mentioned, with McGuire and Sosa, we look at it differently now. But, you know, in this year, when I mentioned Judge – is, what, 20 home runs more than anyone else in either league? And it's not. And you're right. Hitting offense is not through the roof right now. I mean, he's leading the league in batting average at just .313. And he could end up winning the Triple Crown with a .313 batting average. And so, to me, when you compare him across the board to what everyone else is doing offensively and what the league averages are, it makes it even more impressive. And I'm no Yankees fan, but everything I've heard or I've been told about Aaron Judge, he's a very easy guy to root for, and this is the kind of guy that you want having this kind of record, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, we had the Yankees and the Red Sox on Sunday Night Baseball the other day, and before that game, I was walking toward the Red Sox clubhouse, and Rich Hill, longtime pitcher, came out, and he was on the phone and having a conversation. You know, very clearly, very gregarious conversation, and he hung up when stopped, and I was like, "Hey, who are you talking to?" And he goes, "Judge." He said, "I asked him to sign a bat for my son," and he said he couldn't have been nicer. Now think about that. That's an hour and a half, you know, 2 hours before a game, and Aaron Judge is taking that phone call and saying to a professional colleague, "No problem." And you know that Rich Hill wasn't the only guy to do that. There probably were 20 other players who are reaching out to him, and Judge, you know, met all that. And I think it probably is one of the reasons why Roger Maris Jr. and, the Roger Maris family have made sure that they've been in place to honor him. Traveling to Toronto, waiting through last week and all those homerless games, he is being celebrated throughout the sport in part because of who he is, which, as you say, by all accounts, first-class guy, great teammate, treats everybody with respect, and I think a lot of folks are going to be happy that he's going to hold this record, including, it seems, Roger Maris Jr.
Nate Buchady, you're on with Buster Olney.
Morning, Buster. So what does this do for Aaron Judge's contract going forward?
Oh, my God. The pressure that's going to be on the Yankees this fall in the contract negotiation is unlike anything they've ever seen. You know, they Bernie Williams hit free agency in 1998. You know, Robinson, Andy Pettit hit free agency, I think, in 2003. Robinson Cano hit free agency 10 years ago, and there was pressure on the Yankees to sign those guys. Ain't nothing close to what they're going to be dealing with this offseason. And I've told you guys, I think there's going to be an opportunity for an owner of another team to swoop in and throw a big number at Judge, and then we're going to find out if the Yankees will maintain their recent discipline and basically say, no, we offered you $213.5 million in the spring. We offered to make you the second highest paid outfielder in baseball behind Mike Trout. You're going to be 31 in April, and we're not going to go to, and I'm just throwing numbers out there, $350 million, $325 million. I don't think they will. I think they'll actually hold their discipline because the dirty little secret on the Yankee side of this whole thing, they know that no matter who they sign, people are going to watch. There's still going to be the Yankee fans who are going to watch, and also they're going to feel confident that they can go and get, you know, other players using that money, whether it's the Shohei Ohtani or whoever. If you have the ability to have a $275 million payroll like the Yankees do, you're probably going to find players that give you a chance to win.
And Buster, for baseball fans that appreciate history and that relish these magical moments, I mean, what a week. We get Aaron Judge with number 61, and we get Albert Pujols with, I mean, number 700. Wow. Right? I mean, that's the odds of that happening this year, or ever happening, something like that. We're never going to see two milestones happen in the same week like that ever.
It's pretty remarkable, and it's cool. You know, we've talked in recent weeks about how neat it is that Pujols is having this moment, you know, the victory lap moment that we didn't think he was going to be able to have when he got released by the Angels. And it was cool to, you know, to hear the stories. I was not out there at Dodger Stadium when he hit 1699 and 700. But before that, he sought out Andrew Friedman, who's the head of baseball operations for the Dodgers, and basically thanked him and said, you know, signing with the Dodgers last year restored my joy, you know, made baseball fun again for me. And let's face it, he went to the Dodgers under different circumstances when he was with the Angels, where gradually his role was being, you know, reduced, and maybe he wasn't totally on board. But when the Dodgers signed him, they said, look, you're going to be a part-time player. We love having you here. We love having you as a teammate. That's the role that, you know, Pujols has carried over to the Cardinals. He thrived in it. And from the Home Run Derby on, it's been this wonderful celebration to the point that you kind of feel like Yadier Molina, another Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer, sort of getting lost in the mix a little bit, overshadowed by his more accomplished teammates.
And Buster, look, as someone that has campaigned for the Universal DH basically my whole life, I've never liked watching pitchers hit, and I've always wanted the DH to be in the National League. This, you know, curtain call, this historic run by Albert Pujols would not be happening if not for the Universal DH, right?
There's no doubt about it.
There you go.
And I would say for years, you know, I was someone who I couldn't stand the idea of a Universal DH. I love National League rules. I love the bunting and the strategy and all that stuff. And I was wrong and you were right. And you can do a victory lap with that.
You know what? I love you, though. That's the whole thing. But it's just that's because I think back to George Brett and how he was able to get 3,000 hits in a Royals uniform and win that last batting title, and he would not have been able to do all that if not for a DH. And so it's a way for great players to continue to be part of the game, and we get to see this victory lap with Pujols and the St. Louis Cardinals. Buster, thank you for making time for us. You're the best, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hold on. My focus group of two, does that work for you, the mountain climbing analogy? Does that work for you?
I loved it. Absolutely. Double thumbs up from me,
okay.
I'll tell you that.
Mate. All right, turn on the TV in 15 minutes, and that's what I'm going to say.
All right. Hey, you know, touch your nose and wink your left eye at me so I know you're thinking about me. All right, Buster?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Be weird if you did it. How about that, Nate?
Pretty cool if he did.
I mean, that's, don't you, because I know people, there's some people that are still pissed off about the Universal DH, but don't you think that's a perfect example of why the DH is a good thing in the National League? I mean, I think if any St. Louis fan was against it, they're for it now. Because to have Pujols come home and come back to St. Louis and not only be hitting these home runs that are meaningful because he got to 700, but meaningful because they just won the division, right? I mean, there it is.
Seemed like Cardinals fans were some of the loudest against the DH, too.
I know.
But
you agree with my point. I mean,
that's decided to win them over.
Right, but this wouldn't have happened without the universal DH. At least it wouldn't have happened in St. Louis. You know?
Right.
So, that's all. That's what I wanted. That's what I like. So, good stuff. We'll take a break, and then we're going to transition into the football. Have you listened to the new podcast with the Kelce brothers?
I have not.
Very good. Marco loves it. I love it. We'll play some for you either this segment or next segment. We've got that coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
So gone and get to clapping. Go pop it for a plan. Pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan. Drop it for me. I'll rent some beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Julio served that scampi.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's hear... We hear a lot from Andy Reid. Let's hear from some different people. Let's listen. Get the miscellaneous cuts there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Here he talks about the run game's performance in Indianapolis.
You know, it's something that all 11 have to look at each other and kind of figure out these are the things that we need to do and these are the things that we need to get done. You know, you can't sit there and pinpoint one thing or the other. It's a you know, O-line helps running backs help, you know, O-line receivers, and it's all like a trickling down effect. It's not one thing that you can always pinpoint, not just on one play. It was, you know, it's multiple positions and on multiple plays. So it wasn't just one thing that we can always just say, oh, this is what we should have worked on and this is what we should have got done.
Here's one more from Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the team learning from their mistakes last week.
I've never been a person or even felt like this has been a group to, you know, dang, we should have did this, you know, 3 days ago or, you know, 2 days ago. This person seemed like they were out of focus. Just thinking back, you know, you would say that in the times that you feel like your feet are and the things that you're doing at that time, if you don't feel like you're all in at that time in preparation, then, you know, I don't feel like, you know, that was those guys, you know, these guys in the room. And that's not how we felt like we prepared the last week. And I know we haven't prepared like that from camp and so forth. So as far as looking back, I've never been a guy or a part of a group that's kind of, you know, well, I feel like, well, we did this last week and we didn't do this 2 weeks ago. You know, it wasn't one of those things. We felt like, you know, these are the things on film that we should have pinpointed, and we seen it, and it was like, well, man, we go in this week of practice, pinpoint those things that we need to get done. Each individual group had their things. Each individual person, you know, had their multiple things that they either wrote on their board or in their room, and we're going to go out and we're going to get those things done. And in the midst of that, we execute the plays that's being called.
Nate, any comments on what Clyde Edwards-Helaire said?
Oh, not too much. I mean, I think I've actually been impressed for the most part with what he's had to offer so far this year. Even though he didn't have a great rushing day, he still had a good day catching the ball out of the backfield in this past game, and I hope that continues. They've been throwing him the ball a little bit more this year, and I think he's shown that he is a weapon in the passing game when they get him the ball in that regard.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming opponent, Tampa. Shaq Barrett, a member of the Tampa defense, is not impressed so far with what he's seen from this rebuilt Chiefs offensive line.
How different is this Chiefs offensive line from the one you guys faced in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
I really don't think it's too much of a difference. I think we have a lot of favorable matchups. I think we have an opportunity to really dominate the game as long as, like, I just think, yeah, we got an opportunity to really impose our will as pass rushers, as rushers, this game, and we could really have a coming out party. I know we had 6 sacks the other game, but we could really have a coming out party as edge and as edge defenders in the position group for this game.
Respond to that, Nate. You smart mouth.
Well, the way the offensive line played last weekend, I don't think it's as outrageous of a statement as at first it sounds. But I think in general the offensive line is far better than it was when they played him in the Super Bowl. So if he thinks he's going up against the same offensive line, I think he's going to be in for a surprise.
Give them some bulletin board material to motivate them. Let's jump ahead to Lebo with Trey Smith. You know, Trey Smith has not looked like he is 100% healthy. And so Lebo talked to Trey Smith about his health.
A lot of times with football, you're going to play a little beat up. And it's just, for me, it's just one of those things. You know, it's pushed through injuries a little bit. Obviously, to certain extents, but it's just something that, as a football player, it's sort of what it's expected, especially the linemen, just going through the routine.
Do you have a sense of when you're going to be fully healthy or feel like yourself again, or is this going to be kind of a struggle for a while?
No, I feel fully healthy, man. I'm out there every week. I haven't missed a game on Sunday, so I'm feeling good, man. Ready to go.
Does it affect you at all, power or run game or anything like that?
Nah, man. I'm just focused on what coaching points are. But, I try not to think about anything other than just getting my block done, you know, and dominating the guy in front of me.
As a group, you guys, last year, I think a lot of people were surprised with how well, with so many new faces you guys played. Are people attacking you any differently because there's a whole year of tape on what you guys did last year?
I wouldn't say so necessarily. Pretty much generally the same stuff. Just got to execute a little bit better.
And when you do that, does most of that execution come? You can do whatever you want in practice field. It's got to come during the game though, right? I mean, I know it carries over, but is that where you got graded for real? Is the game time execution compared to what you guys do in practice?
Yeah, you know, I guess we're really judged on wins and losses in this league. So ultimately, you know, when you're on the field, really when you're on the field at any point, you want to be at your best. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are judged by our wins and losses in the game. So we want to be at our best in those situations.
All right, that was Chiefs offensive lineman Trey Smith talking about his health and the performance of the offensive line that will be tested by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming up on Sunday night. We will take a break. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Border Patrol.
Really? Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums, getting all swollen with a light blue hue to them. Fresh and juicy, ready for the picking. All the school children are lining up to put them in the sack lunches. Hey, that plum looks good. You got traded for your Twinkie? No, these are my plums. I want to bite into that plum and let the juice spill down my chin. You know what I mean?
Don't touch that dial. The Border Patrol will be right back on Sports Radio 810 WHB.